Now it's over to the news desk with Lena Valverde and Charles McKelvey. But first, we'll take a look at today's headlines.
Alicia Alonso's funeral announced for Saturday.
Cuba and Mexico ratify their friendship.
Venezuela elected new member of UN Human Rights Council.
The fourth meeting of Cubans in Latin America and the Caribbean is being held in Mexico City.
Now for the news in detail.
Cuba's Ministry of Culture has announced that funeral honors for legendary Cuban ballet dancer and choreographer Alicia Alonso will be held Saturday in the Great Theater that bears her name. Starting at 9 a.m. Cuban time, the people will be able to pay tribute to the great artist. Her family wants her remains to be buried in a family pantheon in Colon Cemetery here in Havana, the city where she was born on December 21, 1990. Cuban cultural institutions, organizations of creator, artists, and writers, together with Alicia Alonso's relatives, have agreed not to observe mourning, but instead pay a great tribute to the acclaimed artist.
The governments of Cuba and Mexico ratified on Thursday their willingness to continue developing political and diplomatic dialogue to expand economic and commercial relations, investment, and cooperation. Cuban Minister of Foreign Affairs Bruno Rodriguez confirmed on Twitter the themes discussed in the cordial meeting in Mexico City between Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel and Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. López Obrador welcomed the visitor in the patio of honor of the National Palace. In his usual morning press conference, the Mexican president said that the visit by his Cuban counterpart was important because the Cuban people and the Mexican people are brothers. The Cuban president returned to Havana in the early morning hours of Friday. He was welcomed at José Martí International Airport by Communist Party leader Raúl Castro.
Venezuela was elected as a new member of the United Nations Human Rights Council. On Thursday, the 193-member General Assembly elected 14 new members to the 47-member Human Rights Council for three-year terms starting January 1, 2020. The headquarters of the council is in Geneva. In the vote, Brazil topped ballot with 153 votes, followed by Venezuela with 105. Venezuela was able to garner enough votes from UN member states, this in spite of US attempts to bribe and pressure countries not to vote for the South American nation. The voting results are seen as an important victory for the Bolivarian Revolution of Venezuela.
The fourth meeting of Cubans residing in Latin America and the Caribbean is underway in Mexico City with the participation of 100 delegates from 15 countries. A keynote presentation by Abreu Prieto, former Minister of Culture and currently President of the José Martí Cultural Society, will kick off the event. Participants also will be briefed on the changes in Cuba's migratory policies. In statements to Prensa Latina, the General Director of Consular Affairs and Cubans Resident Abroad at the Cuban Foreign Ministry, Ernesto Soberon, spoke of the interest of Cubans living abroad in participating in the processes of economic and social development of the island. Soberon noted that the most significant challenge is to find a way to channel the potential offered by Cuban nationals in other countries and their possible contributions in technology, knowledge, and financing for the development of projects that benefit both Cuba and Cuban nationals living abroad.
And you tuned into Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast. Back now to the news desk with Lena Valverde and Charles McKelvey.
Over 6,000 Palestinian prisoners are languishing in Israeli jails. Hundreds of inmates are held without any charge or trial under what it's known as administrative detention, which violates international law. In a recent development, 6 Palestinian prisoners are refusing food, this in protest of the policy. Among those 6 protesters is Eva Al-Labadi, a Palestinian Jordanian national who has been on a hunger strike for over 3 weeks. Among other detainees protesting their unlawful incarceration and the horrific conditions in Israeli prisons is Ahmed Ghanem, who began a hunger strike back in July. Human rights groups say Israel should either prosecute those prisoners or release them, but Tel Aviv insists that they were arrested on secret reports which are inaccessible to prisoners and their lawyers.
The U.S. has ordered Chinese diplomats to inform the State Department before holding any meetings with U.S. government officials, describing the restrictions as a reciprocal move. Speaking on condition of anonymity, a senior U.S. State Department official told reporters that Chinese diplomats in the United States now are required to give advance notice of any meetings with federal, state, and local officials, as well as any visits to educational and research institutions. The official said the measures came in response to restrictions that U.S. diplomats face when trying to meet Chinese officials and academics. The State Department said the directive applies to officials working at all Chinese missions in the United States and its territories, including the United Nations. In a statement posted on Twitter, China's embassy in Washington denied that Beijing was implementing similar restrictions on U.S. diplomats.
The Trump administration has proposed opening millions of acres of Alaska's Tongass National Forest to logging, a move environmental activists say threatens the largest intact temperate rainforest in North America. Earlier this week, Trump told federal officials to reverse long-standing protections against tree cutting in the area. Critics say logging would threaten not only the ecosystem, but also the forest's profitable salmon fishing and tourist industry. The Tongass National Forest, located in southeast Alaska, is the largest national forest in the United States, with 16.7 million acres. Most of its area is part of the temperate rainforest ecoregion. Because of its remote location, it is home to many species of endangered and rare flora and fauna.
On the 8th day of his trial held in New York City, it was revealed that Tony Hernandez, brother of Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez, sold drugs, ammunition, and high-caliber rifles to a drug dealer who is connected to a Mexican criminal group and to a drug trafficking and money laundering organization. Hernandez faces life in prison for 4 charges, including drug conspiracy and weapons charges. The prosecutors accuse him of having used his governmental connections to smuggle U.S.-bound cocaine through Honduras. Prosecutors have named his brother, the Honduran president, as a co-conspirator and said that he has received millions from other drug lords as well, but he has not been charged.
Members of the New York City Council introduced on October 17th a resolution calling on the U.S. government to lift the blockade against Cuba and travel restrictions to the Caribbean nation. Democratic Council members Idanis Rodriguez and Inés Barrón joined international human rights advocates on the steps of New York City Hall to announce the presentation of the measure, which is also sponsored by their colleagues James Van Bramer. In his Twitter account, Rodriguez wrote, "We need to end this archaic Cold War-era embargo that has impacted people, not government, as it was originally intended. We must end the Cuban embargo and the travel ban now." The End Cuba Blockade Bill of 2019, according to the Council's webpage, advocates the ending of the measure imposed almost 60 years ago and for U.S. citizens to freely travel to Cuba like citizens of all other nations.
And once again, our headlines for today.
Alicia Alonso's funeral announced for Saturday.
Cuba and Mexico ratify their friendship.
Venezuela elected new member of UN Human Rights Council.
The fourth meeting of Cubans in Latin America and the Caribbean is being held in Mexico City.